Science, technology, society, our lives, philosophy, and religion. This is Spark Dialogue Podcast, where it all comes together. I'm Elizabeth Fernandez. Gamma ray bursts are some of the most energetic events in the universe, lasting only a few milliseconds to a few minutes. We can literally see these explosions from across the universe. But until very recently, their origins remained a mystery. Today, our guest is Dr. Rodolfo Barniol Duran, who studies these mysterious explosions. So, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
The first gamma ray bursts were seen in 1967, and they were some of the most powerful explosions that we've seen. So powerful that we can actually see them from across the universe. But at first, we didn't understand what these explosions were. Could you tell us a little bit about what a gamma ray burst is?
Sure. A gamma ray burst is basically a very, very short and very intense pulse of gamma rays that we detect on Earth. But the atmosphere is very good at shielding these gamma rays. So in order to detect these gamma rays, we actually need satellites that are very high up, and that way we can detect the gamma rays. And we call them bursts because they're very short-lived. So many of them last for maybe a fraction of a second, and they can last up to maybe a few minutes, or maybe a minute or so.
Okay, so the fact that these can only be seen from space and that they have such a short duration, is that why they were only detected very recently?
Exactly. So at the end of the 60s, they were doing some tests with some satellites. These were called the Vela satellites. The U.S. was trying to make sure that the USSR was not making any nuclear experiments. So actually, they were trying to see if gamma rays were detected. By accident, they detected this gamma rays not coming from the Earth, but actually coming from very far away, from somewhere else.
So these gamma ray bursts are so powerful that we can literally see them from across the universe. Do you have a comparison for how much energy they release in this short period of time?
Right. So one could think about it like this: is all of the energy that you have, our sun emits a lot of energy. That's why we're nice and warm here on Earth. But if you would emit, so basically, gamma ray bursts emit perhaps all of the energy or close to all of the energy that the sun will emit in its entire lifetime. The gamma ray burst emits it in a few seconds or a minute or so. So these are tremendous explosions in which a lot of energy is emitted in a very short amount of time.
So what causes this huge explosion of energy?
What's happening is that in both of them, in short GRBs and in long GRBs, we have the birth of a black hole, or the birth of a very compact object. And what happens is that a lot of matter very close to this black hole or this compact object is accreted to the black hole. And there are very strong magnetic fields surrounding the explosion. And also there's a lot of rotation in the system. So all of this matter that is going into the black hole is accreted to the black hole, so that the black hole feeds on it, and then also a fraction of this energy also gets expelled very strongly in very powerful jets. We call them jets because instead of these explosions being isotropic, so instead of instead of material just flying around in every direction, the material flies in a very narrow jet. You can channel all of your energy in this very narrow jet. And in addition, this jet travels very, very close to the speed of light.
Why does some of the material not fall in the black hole, and why does some of it instead be ejected away from the black hole?
Right. So this is an excellent question, and this is a question that many people are still trying to understand. The thing is that if you have a black hole and you get very close to the black hole and you cross something that is called the event horizon or the Schwarzschild radius or this surface of the black hole of no return, whatever crosses the surface is doomed to be forever inside this surface. So material that falls inside this surface, inside the event horizon, will never be able to come out. However, material that is very close to the black hole but hasn't passed this event horizon, you have a lot of rotation, so all of the material surrounding the black hole is moving very fast, and also you have a lot of magnetic field lines that you have also the material has carried with it as it gets closer and closer to the black hole. So when you have this combination of very strong rotation and very strong magnetic fields, this magnetic field start twisting and twisting and twisting and twisting. So material that is close to the black hole but hasn't yet fallen inside the event horizon gets trapped in these field lines, which are very strong, and these field lines make it expel in this jet.
So we only see a gamma ray burst if this jet is actually pointed towards Earth. So what determines how this jet is oriented?
If you have the collapse of the star, then the material that collapses, it's rotationally supported in the equator and not very is not supported in the poles. So a lot of the materials from the poles actually falls very quickly into the equator. Everything is rotating, and then the whole equator forms a disk, and this disk is rotating. So then when material falls into the black hole and some material gets flung out, then we believe that the jet will follow the poles, so that the emission of the jets will be perpendicular to the rotational axis of the accretion disk.
So there are two types of gamma ray bursts. There's the long duration and the short duration. What are the differences between these two?
Right, so there are a couple of differences. Of course, the easiest one to discuss is the short bursts are very short, they're usually less than a few seconds, and the long ones are pretty long. They could be few seconds long to maybe sometimes minutes or longer. Long bursts, so this gamma ray bursts, after a while of studying them, and actually after detecting many, many of them, hundreds of them, we were able to detect something called the afterglow. So after this very strong pulse of gamma rays or pulses of gamma rays, we were able to detect emission in the X-ray band, in the optical band with optical telescopes and with radio telescopes. We were able to discover that long GRBs, if we look deep enough, we are able to discover there a supernova. And this supernova is a supernova very characteristic of a core collapse, which means a very big star that collapses and explodes. It makes us believe that long GRBs are associated with the death of very massive stars. On the other hand, short GRBs, since they are very short, and as I said, less than 2 seconds or so, we believe that they have to do with compact objects. And compact objects, in this case, seem to be, we say that they are neutron stars. So The most common model to explain a short gamma ray burst is with the coalescence or the merger of two neutron stars.
Okay, so let's go back to long gamma ray bursts. Does it take a special kind of star that, as it dies, to form one of these long gamma ray bursts?
The strongest candidates are stars that are, first, they're rotating very fast, and stars that have strong winds. And we want strong winds because we want a star that doesn't have too much material in the envelope of the star. So we want these winds to take away this material. Why? The reason is when this very massive star collapses, we believe that it produces a black hole or a neutron star or something in the center, and then you have this accretion, and then you have the jet coming out, and at the same time you have the supernova explosion. So all of this happens at the same time, but the jet is launched from the center of the star. And at that point, not all of the star has collapsed. So this jet has to drill through the star. And if the star is very, if the star has a very big envelope, or there's a lot of material there surrounding the star, then the jet will not be able to penetrate and will not be able to punch out.
So gamma ray bursts happen very quickly. Once one is detected, how quickly do you have to observe it before it fades away?
We need to basically have a detector. Have it on and wait. And the universe is so big, and there's so many explosions, there's so many galaxies that host these explosions that you don't have to wait too long. After that, you want to tell the people on Earth, you want to tell, hey, there was a gamma ray burst. Please take your optical telescope, please take your radio telescope, and point it towards that area of the sky so that we can see if we can see the afterglow.
So this afterglow, it can last for a while longer than the gamma ray burst itself.
Correct. There is one burst that was detected in 2003. Observers were able to get the radio afterglow, and this radio afterglow was observed for a long time, for even 10 years after the explosion. But typically, with the optical telescopes, we can see the afterglow for maybe a few days, maybe 5 days, 10 days. With X-rays, we can go also for maybe a little longer, maybe 10 days. And then with radio, sometimes you can go to maybe months or sometimes even years, like in this case.
So, when you think about a dying star, one that goes supernova that also produces a gamma ray burst, it seems that there'll be another observable as well, and that would be the supernova remnant, that wispy nebulous thing that we often see in the sky. Are these things often observed together?
We have never seen a supernova remnant from a supernova that accompanies the GRB. So we have seen the supernova, and we have seen the supernova, but we have never seen the supernova remnant. And this is what Professor Dimitris Janos and I theoretically predict, that since there is a supernova, there should be a supernova remnant. And this is what we're excited about seeing soon. And according to us, this supernova remnant should be observable 10 or 20 years after the main explosion.
So sometimes you've seen a gamma ray burst, and that 10 or 20 years later you go to look for the supernova remnant and you don't find one. What are some of the reasons that this might happen?
If we go and try to look at at the location of the explosion 20 years after the explosion, and we have a very nice and big radio telescope, and we don't see anything, then this will tell us that the shock was not strong because the density surrounding the explosion was weak, or the magnetic field that was producing the shock was also very weak. So we will learn a lot from these shocks, even if we don't see anything.
So thank you very much for talking with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure.
This is Elizabeth Fernandez for Spark Dialogue Podcasts. If you like us, don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. Thanks for listening.